T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, guys, welcome to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts, Odd Rod.
What's going on, dude?
Surf's up, man. What? I mean, every time you say that, I'm just like ready for you to come walking up with a surfboard.
Well, I can't do that because it's Turkey Day. Well, belated Turkey Day. It was a couple days ago.
It was a couple days ago. But you know what?
I'm full as a tick.
We are. I'm like in a turkey coma.
Yeah.
Right now. A Tacoma.
A Tacoma. Oh, a Tacoma.
But
the Tacoma.
You get that old Tacoma. I heard they get gas mileage. Good gas mileage. But anyway.
They let off a lot of gas. I know that.
I tell you what. You know, Thanksgiving's a time for being thankful.
It is.
And I mean, you know, I'm thankful for so many things in my life.
Name some. Just right off the bat.
Ocean blue eyes.
Refined gasoline.
Gray hair.
You're thankful.
Great hair.
Good tire wear.
Devilish voice.
Positive traction.
Boyish good looks.
Very good. 500 horsepower, you know, worth of
something.
LS. Yeah, something. Yeah.
With an LS.
With an LS. Yeah, that's what I'm thankful for.
No, there's
for.
So many things to be thankful for, you know. And, you know, everybody's got that car that they're thankful for. That car that got them.
You're getting ahead of yourself.
I'm going to smack you so hard.
Well, you can't.
Your headphones are going to go from left, right, right, left.
We have a rhythm here at the studio of things we do. Are you wanting to break rhythm?
You are whiter than chalk, and you want to come at me about rhythm?
Yeah.
You are whiter than the new fallen snow, and you want to talk to me about rhythm?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm from the west side, yeah.
Easy.
Don't make me start throwing up gang signs in the studio.
Easy. Calm down.
Calm down, killer.
It's all good. We don't want none of this. We're trying to be thankful today.
Don't make baby powder come out.
Yeah, we're trying to be thankful today. It's belated Thanksgiving.
That's what I'm screaming. So we're talking about things we're thankful for.
Yeah, not yet, though. We got other things to talk about. We got to talk about where we've been.
All right. We've been all kinds of places.
We have been all kinds of places. How about, I was down. We had two for, you know, we split ways. So I went down to Commerce.
We were so sad. It was like,
bye.
Where did you go?
It was like,
bye.
We sent each other
texts like, miss you.
Yep. But so I went down to Commerce, Georgia for the Southern Super Heavy Shootouts. Drove the Schwagen down there.
You did.
Had a good time.
Didn't tear it up or anything.
No, and drove it back home too. Ran down the track a couple times. Can't disclose those numbers. You know how it goes. You know, it's highly regarded. But I will say the car goes over 100 miles an hour in the quarter. So that's moving pretty good.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's pretty good for a wagon. I see that look on your face.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
If you don't throw numbers out there, you can't talk trash.
Well, hang on, what?
If you don't throw the numbers out, you can't be like, well, it was impressive. Give us some impressive numbers.
What's some numbers on your Malibu, huh? Let's talk about that.
It's not a race car. I don't put it on a racetrack.
Well, the wagon's not a race car, so I'm not revealing numbers.
Yeah, but you're dumb enough to put it on a racetrack. I mean,
so?
Does it have numbers on the side of it? Do you have a sponsor?
You should see the things I do in my rental car. That's strictly off the records.
Yeah.
I was told I didn't have to repeat that, so.
And back to our corporate sponsor.
And it's still a rental car.
Enterprise rental car. But no, this is the thing. You know, the wagon is everything that a race car's not, but it does race car things.
Yes.
And kind of does grandma things still, too.
And it put on a pretty good show down at the Southern Super Heavy Shootouts. We had a great time down there. A little big turnout. A lot of Trailblazer SSs.
Well, now, keep in mind and remind everybody, this is a race and a car show.
Yes.
For 4,000-pound up cars.
And actually, you know, next year, I was talking to Don Lambert, who's the guy that puts on the event.
Donnie.
He's actually from up in Michigan. But I was talking to him, and he's talking about having an outlaw class next year. Now, what this will allow, this is good. The car can weigh in at anything it wants. Like, so as much as you can chop it down, it can come in weighing, like, next to nothing. But the rule is, leaving the factory, the car had to weigh 4,000 pounds or more. That's the one stipulation. So if you can get this 4,000-pound car down to, like, 2,800 pounds, that's fine. It's completely legal.
So basically, if you have a fiberglass front end or fiberglass or carbon fiber panels,
right,
things of this
as
nature.
As long as the car left the factory weighing 4,000 pounds or more, it is completely open to racing this outlaw
class. Of
course,
there again, they don't make a lot of fiberglass front ends for hearses. So
no. The good thing is the back ends may have fiberglass.
They don't make Cadillac Broham fiberglass front ends. Brogams.
No, I mean, this is a cool concept. I think this is going to bring some interesting cars to the field.
It could bring some interesting things. Well, I want to tell you something. This is interesting in itself because everything you do in drag racing, you guys are fighting against.
Oh, yeah.
Aerodynamics, out the window.
Yeah, Trailblazer SS is not known for its aerodynamics.
Well, I mean, you're pushing a Lego block down the track, and then it's a heavy Lego block.
Yeah, it's a weighted one for sure.
And I mean, and they're fast. I mean, some of these cars are very impressive.
Yeah, some of these cars, you know, the quarter mile are dipping down into like 8s, 7s even.
The cars that when I went the year before last, the one that was the ones that really got my what was the guys with the Marauders, the Mercury Marauders? That
yeah,
came out? It's like a little, it's like a biker gang, but with Mercury Marauders.
Yeah,
like they had a handshake and like a secret decoder ring and all that stuff. But you know, they were like,
I cannot think of the name of the group.
But it was
group,
like the little
yeah.
get along gang of Mercury Marauders, you know, and they come in, you know, they had the matching jackets like the T-Birds, you know. But you know, and I mean, like, they were super cool. But these cars, like, to look at them, you're like, okay, they're black Grand Marquis.
Right.
And then you start looking at them a little closer, and like, you know, there's like the factory 18-inch wheels on them. They've been cut down into skinnies on the front, and they're like 3.5 inches wide.
Yep.
And they crank it up, and it's rattling the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear a blower on it.
And of course, it's absolutely amazing, actually.
Yeah, old grandma's packing some heat.
You know, it's like one of my favorite things to see that come every year is the wagon hauling wagon. It's a normal Buick Roadmaster wagon, so a lot like my Caprice. And it's just a normal car, but it pulls a trailer with a drag wagon.
A drag wagon.
A drag wagon that's lifting the tires off the ground and, you know, running in tens. I mean, absolutely impressive.
It weighs as much as a full-size pickup truck.
Right.
Which is insane.
So, I mean, it's an awesome event. It's great things to see. I mean, it's seeing cars that you're not normally going to see run down the track like that. And then, of course, a lot of your modern cars are good to go. You know, your new Camaros, your new Challengers. I think the Mustangs are a little light, but Chargers, all the, you know, the Hellcats, all this, I'm sure.
Well, Challengers, Chargers. I mean, all this stuff is perfect for this. I mean,
oh, yeah, it's ideal.
And it's
your
fun.
Pontiac G8s, your CTS-Vs.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun, run what you brung kind of stuff. You know, just real street racing, you know, it's heads up.
Well, they do have bracket classes as well, but yeah, there is a heads up class, which is absolutely awesome.
That's the fun part.
That's the fun part, yeah.
And I mean, they had a Tesla there.
Yeah. Yeah, Tesla weighs in at over 4,000 pounds, so it don't matter if it's a foreign or domestic car.
That old Elon
which the
Musk.
Tesla is made here in America, but it doesn't matter if it's a foreign domestic car. Last year we had a Volvo limo.
No, it was a Volkswagen.
Volkswagen,
limo.
Yeah,
the Jetta limo, which
Jetta
is crazy
limo.
In itself.
Yep. But, it topped the scale over 4,000 pounds, so, you know, it was free to run. And the cool thing is the car show, though, because I know not everybody has a heavy car like this, but the car show is an absolute open event, so anybody, no matter what the weight class is on your car, can show up for the car show.
And you have some of the prettiest Impala SSs you will ever see in your life.
Absolutely.
The B-Body boys come to show.
Yeah, exactly. I think this year, which is a high, high number, there was like 7 wagons like mine. So it's almost like a miniature wagon fest in and of itself. It's pretty amazing.
There's 7 of you guys floating around. 8 counting you.
Yeah. I mean, and fairly local, too. That's the more scary
part.
I'm
telling you. I'm just like, I'm really worried for the youth.
No, I think it's great to see these cars, you know, like someone actually treating them for what they're worth. Because a lot of these cars were like tossed up for cash for clunkers, you know. And these are V8. You know, I think, honestly, it's one of like GM's last stand a genuine muscle car up until this new era of muscle car.
Well, in a lot of ways. It was the last rear-wheel drive passenger cars.
Yes, that packed a nice little punch.
Especially the Impala SSs. Given the time, I mean, you know, keep in mind, you know, 300 horsepower, 305, 315, that was a lot in 1996.
Yeah, considering the times, you're talking about a very, very high-performance car.
Extremely high-performance car, really.
So, well, that's awesome. I spent some time down there, and I think when we come back from the commercial break, we can talk about where you were and also where we've been. Great stuff coming up, more show coverage, and an awesome show.
I'll tell you what, I think it's about time for a commercial break, guys.
I think so.
Stay tuned. We got way more Hot Rods and Happy Hour coming right at you.
On 106.3 W.
All right. right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. So now we talked about Fat Kid Fest, or I mean Southern Super Heavy Shootout.
Easy.
That's for them big cars.
Easy, killer.
It's like the equivalent of Fat Cat for Hot Rods.
Easy, calm
it's
down.
It's like, she may be big, but she's beautiful. But
oh, God.
I love giving you Wagon B-Body, Grand Marquis driving guys a hard time.
We're just cooler, that's all.
You're something. Definitely something.
Anyhow, so where do you go? Where do you go?
Why see, now, I went back to the polar opposite. You were in the land of sheet metal and cup holders and French fries ground into the floorboard and imprints in the seat where car seats were and all that and blue hair and all this grandma stuff. I was at the lake with a bunch of Corvette owners at Corvettes at Kiwi.
You mean them cars I outrun all the time?
Outrun one.
I ran a few.
I don't think he even knew you were racing. That was he saw a station wagon, and he's like, yeah. He was probably on his Cellier.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, guys, long story short, we were at Corvette's Kiwi. Great show. It was a big cruise in.
Yeah.
It was at the Lighthouse Restaurant right there in Seneca. And that's a pretty swanky place. Anyway, it's like a hot date place. And you're on Kiwi, which is high class anyway.
Well, you're in your Corvette. You might as well go to
Well, it is. It's like you can't even sip a drink without your pinky up there. It's just automatic. Just like Gray's modeling force right there. Yeah. But, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, there was Corvettes from every genre. We had first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. I think we had an 8th gen there. I don't think they make those yet.
No, I don't think those are made yet.
But anyway, they had a lot of gorgeous vets there. You know, of course, Vet City put this on. And super, super, super cool show. Great idea, great concept. They're going to have another one back in March. I mean, they had a full house this time. But the thing about Corvettes, and we were talking about it, it's so funny. It's that niche car.
It is.
But it's so popular.
It is.
I mean, it's like the Mustangs and the Corvettes are the only two cars I know. Even the Camaros, you could say it, and the Challengers, but they're not quite as strong as the Corvette Mustang crowd.
Yeah.
It's the Corvette, I mean, you know, a lot of people get this vision in their head of a Corvette owner being a gold chainer, you know, or whatever. But, I mean, you got a lot of guys that are, you know, all their life they wanted a Corvette. I mean, it's the one thing, like a kid that's 2 years old knows what a Corvette is.
Absolutely. I mean, American.
It is. It's apple pie and bald eagles and all kinds of stuff and French fries. I mean, it's everything.
Which is weird because they're named French.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying. Now, this is, I mean, it's as American as it gets.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's American sports car. And even like the Vipers, which is another American sports car. I mean, it's an impressive vehicle.
Right on.
Don't even compare to a Corvette.
No, not at all.
And really, in price, they're almost neck and neck.
Yeah, I know, which is crazy.
But, I mean, this is the thing you got to think about. These guys come out, and there's no bad Corvette. There's not. Now, there's some that perform way better than others. There's some that are outdated technology. But there's no bad Corvette. I mean, no matter what you have, it's still a Corvette either way you twist it. Whether it's, what do you think the worst year Corvette to have is?
It's going to be early 90s.
Really?
Yeah, it's C4s.
What would an early 90s C4 be bad?
That's before you got the LT platform. And picked up the power.
To me, if I was going to pick the worst Corvette ever made, would probably be an 84.
Mm-hmm.
First year for the C4. Crossfire injection, which was problematic in the early 80s when you had it in 81 and 82. They were problematic, and then they carried it over into the 84 Corvette. That thing was a dog.
Well, yeah. Well, early 90s, you were getting the two-port motor, so yeah, I'd probably...
85 was first year for two ports.
Okay, so yeah, I'd go probably 84 then.
Yeah, the 84, that crossfire injection was horrid.
Just to be exact, but yeah, C4 vet, all in general, but...
Probably two-thirds of the Crossfire vets got converted to carburetor. and I mean, it's the truth. I mean, it was a horrible setup. It worked almost like a cross-ram intake
right. For
carburetors, but it was dual throttle bodies.
Right.
And it had this plate in the middle of it that cut the wind off between them, which, you know, I'm no engineer, but I know when you mix fuel and air... You want to get as much air as you can, but it's got this divider plate, and it made them run rough. And like, I mean, it's crazy. They were very temperamental, and it was their first swing at a fancy fuel injection system, and it just bit them in the honey. But now
yes.
When they came back out with the tune port, now keep in mind the first years of the TPI, you know, the steel head 85s, and then went with the aluminum head motor in 86, you know, the LA or L98. I mean, these things... I mean, they weren't powerhouses. I mean, it was 260 horsepower. But, I mean, this was a very impressive and a good-looking fuel injection setup.
The Tuneport was probably, in terms of looks...
Tuneport was a sexy-looking motor.
Yeah, up to you getting to your LS days, as far as appeal, the Tuneport...
I still think it's a prettier-looking motor. I mean, like that.
I can make an argument for that. I can make an argument for that, absolutely.
I think an LS looks plastic.
Yeah. Unless you do something to change the looks of the intake.
Right.
Like give it, you know, like hydro dipper or something like that.
Motor factory stock.
Yeah, it definitely has that, just it's a plastic, cheap-looking motor.
Where, you know, you think about the TPI, and you tilt that hood, it opens backwards, and the whole front end lifts up.
Mm-hmm.
And you got, you know, these four big intake runners coming out of it, you know, and it's finned across the top, and it says Tuneport injection in the same writing that everything in the 80s was written in. And that same font, you know. And, I mean, it was like space age looking, you know. I mean, those were very impressive. But the Corvette show, I mean, I kind of got off on a tangent on C4 Vets. But, I mean, there was lots of C4 Vets. They had a ZR1 there with 22,000 miles.
Now see, that's cool. I could get talked into that, or like the pace car,
the 78s.
Yeah. Well, no. The later ones than the C4s, talking about your C4s.
Well, you had an 86 Indy, which was the Indy pace car,
yep.
The yellow, first year for the convertible in the C4.
Right.
And then, of course, you had the 98 pace car, too.
Which also a cool-looking one.
Yeah, the purple one with the yellow wheels on it.
Yeah, I like that one, actually.
And, I mean, I like the special editions, you know, like the 82 Collector's Edition.
We seen one of them this past weekend.
Yeah, exactly, the 82 Collector's Edition. And my all-time favorite, probably one of my most favorite Corvettes of all time, is the 88 35th anniversary, the white with the white wheels. I love white wheels, white seats, white steering wheel. I love those things.
Was there any of those on Kiwi?
No, there wasn't none of those on Kiwi. They're
a harder find.
Well, they only made 2,050 of them, period. So, I mean, there wasn't very many of them at all. But, I mean, this is a great show. And like I said, you know, the Corvette guys, they're coming out in groves, you know, and this is an all Corvette meet. Super good time, though. Great music. Of course, we were there playing some of the best tunes around.
Right.
But, I mean, what was cool about it was all the years of the Corvettes, they're just kind of mixed up. You know, it wasn't like they were all the C1s parked over here. I mean, you might have had a 63, and, you know, my dad even came out and drove a 67 out. You know, I mean, so you had a 67 Survivor car. Of course, never been painted or anything, with 55,000 miles on it in Goodwood Green, and a bright red ZR1 sitting beside it, a 1990 ZR1. I mean, it's so cool to see where the Corvettes have come. I mean, that was the neatest thing about it, walking around.
Right. It's like a little time capsule.
Well, it is. And I mean, and just seeing. I mean, it tells a story. I mean, how far they've come.
So you need to make a trip up to, because you're a Corvette family. You come from a Corvette family. You need to take a trip up to Bowling Green and go to the Corvette Museum and see all that. And go to the plant and watch them build it. That's some fascinating stuff.
Oh, it's some very fascinating stuff. And I mean, the Corvette's a legacy.
It really is.
There's so many stories and side stories about the Corvette. And like I said, I mean, we're just scratching the surface and we wanted to tell you about where we were. But I mean, the Corvettes are great cars. You know, it's like a good friend of mine was looking for a fun car. And he was talking about buying a Mustang.
That's not fun.
I talked him into buying a Corvette. He bought him a UC6 Corvette. Then he comes by the shop and says, "Look what I bought from a vet." We've created a monster, guys.
Exactly.
We've drugged another to the dark side.
Speaking of monster, we got monster commercial breaks coming at you. But stay tuned, because we got plenty more to talk about right here on this Thanksgiving special of Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
On 106.3 WO. All right, guys. Welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. Hot Rod!
What's happening, dude?
I know what we're talking about next. I'm going to read your mind.
What are we talking about?
And maybe your show notes, too.
Nah, I ain't got no show notes.
We are talking about where we were this past weekend.
Yes, we are.
We were in beautiful Concord, North Carolina, Hendricks Motorsports.
Yes, beautiful place, too.
It is a gorgeous facility.
So, yeah, we're up there, and there was a lot of you locally that came up and joined us for that.
For the Christmas for Kids car
Christmas
show.
For Kids, 15th annual, too.
Yeah.
This is an awesome show. This is a great show. I've been going for the last 5 years just attending. This is our first year of DJing and emceeing the event. Great time. The Carolina GM Association does a wonderful job putting this show together. Devin Moore, shout out to you. I seen you and
Devin.
I talked to you on the phone more than I have anybody, more than my wife, more than Rob in the last couple weeks, just working with you at the event. And I think it paid off. Devin does a lot of legwork with the club and everything. And
it was a great event. I mean, it's a great show. I haven't heard not one bad thing about this show.
No, I haven't either.
I mean, it's just a jam up show.
This year, there was actually 398 cars in attendance to the exact number.
That's so wild. Well, I mean, you know, it raised all kinds of money for the Shriners Hospital.
Oh, yeah. It raised upward. The last number I heard was somewhere around the 20,000 mark. So that's phenomenal.
That's phenomenal. And I mean, I'm talking about, this is a one-day show, guys.
Yeah.
which that's impressive.
That's absolutely amazing. You know, of course, the Shriners are there set up selling lunch, too, so they're making a little bit there. The donations that flood in.
How about those car show t-shirts?
The car show t-shirts, yes, designed by Moi. And again, thank you guys for that honor. If any of you are listening from the event, thank you. That's absolutely awesome. They sold out on those, so that was great. Very, very thankful on my end to be able to help out with that. But, you know, the award ceremony went over well. Of course, you and I emceed that. That was a lot of fun.
Doing a live auction. We had a lot of fun. I mean, like I said, it's a great facility. Weather was a little cold at first.
It was a little cold, but
you know what? As soon as the sun came out, not that chill off, it was absolutely gorgeous. It was a beautiful car show.
Absolutely. And, you know, there was a lot of toy donations made, too.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something cool. Let me tell you. So what they did yesterday, what the GM Association did yesterday, is actually they got all their members together and they actually went out and took all of that money, all that close to $20,000, and went out and bought toys to take to the Shriners Hospital to have something for Christmas.
That's awesome.
It's absolutely amazing. I think it's great.
Well, you got to think about these kids. I mean, they're sitting in the hospital, and you know, and I mean, we're not talking about a kid with a banged up knee or something like that. These kids have serious illnesses and ailments.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, it's a depressing place. And I mean, they do all they can, but it's still, I mean, it's a downer being there. Nobody wants to be in the hospital.
Exactly. And especially now for some of the situation these poor kids are having to go through. But what's cool is tomorrow, Monday, is actually delivery day for the toys. So tomorrow they're going to get all these toys they've got and actually take them over to the hospital and give them out. And they said that is like, I'm hoping to get to go. I don't think work's going to allow me, but I'm hoping to. But they said that's one of the most rewarding things you'll ever get to do.
I love it, man. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And like I said, the Carillon GM Association, they do a marvelous job with this. They're doing an awesome thing. And they do a really, really good job. And, of course, the show, you know, it's hosted by a GM club, but it is an open event. There's tons of great cars there.
Well, matter of fact, a 48 Chrysler actually won Best of Show.
Yes, a gorgeous green 48 Chrysler.
An all-original car, flat six. I mean, thing is like that iconic 48 Chrysler. If you don't know what it looks like, Google it.
Oh, yeah. Big old gangster cars, I call them.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, where have you seen another one? I've probably seen three in my entire life.
Oh, yeah, I'm right there with you. It's a car you're not going to see in this stellar condition.
Oh, yeah. It's an older restoration. That car's been restored for like 11 years.
Oh, yeah, and still holding up, looking beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
There's great turnout there, though. You could talk about the cars at that show for hours.
Well, what it is the spectrum of cars there. I mean, the patina and rat rod thing's huge now, so you had a lot of that there. But you had some all-out show cars. How about the Camaro that was up parked at the
The POW MIA tribute car.
Yeah, that was all hand airbrushed. That was insane. And then just talking about just while we're on the Camaro kick, how about all the split bumper pro touring cars? Of course, Detroit Speed was up there.
Yeah.
Detroit Speed had their test mule Camaro running around. I mean, they had, you know, there was some gorgeous, like I said, first-gen, of course, second-gen Camaros. And then, of course, the newer Camaros, they come out in, you know, force.
Full force, yeah. And then even, like, in the import class, the guy won the best import. Very, very beautiful build as old square-body Volvo under the hood at packed LS motor.
Well, it's cool because you have those kind of cars.
The car was absolutely gorgeous, though.
Well, and that's something I like about it because you have so much different stuff. And, of course, you have your street rods.
Oh, yeah.
And you have, you know, your
late... some gorgeous street rods,
some
too.
Awesome street rods were there. 5, 6, 7 guys showing up in force. I mean, there were some beautiful Tri-5 Chevrolets there.
Oh, yeah. So you can actually find this story if you look online a little bit, but I don't know the full details of it. But what they did, there's actually a winner's circle outside of Hendrick's Museum there. And no one's allowed to get on it, but this gentleman who built this car passed away. And what they did is they actually pushed his 55 Chevrolet onto the winner's circle and surrounded it with Tri-5 Chevys, which I thought was awesome. It was a very, very cool display to see.
Very, very cool. The car, I mean, it was like a gorgeous, like a copper and kind of like a cream, off-white color. Good-looking 55 Chevrolet. And it's surrounded by 5, 6, and 7 Chevrolets in the winner's circle. So that was really neat.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, Rick Hendrick opened up his Heritage Center. Like he does, you know, this is like one time a year that he does that and allows people to take a tour of that.
Well, you know, that's a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Absolutely. I mean, you don't just get to go inside of his personal collection.
Well, you know, even like when they do interviews there and stuff, they keep the camera in one spot. You never see like a trolling view of that place.
No. You know, and we've talked about this place before last year, but you're talking about beautiful Corvettes, you know, number ones of different cars, only ones of some cars. And then,
0 mile cars, extreme low mile cars.
Yes. And then, you know, you talk about the facility in and of itself. Tells the story of his life, you know.
Well, I mean, there's a full service Dairy Queen inside there.
Yeah, that's actually a registered Dairy Queen. So yeah, it's on their map as a genuine Dairy Queen. You know, that, you know, the bank where his parents worked, the fire station in their town, the cop car that pulled him over
as a kid is right there.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a story of Rick Hendrick's life, you know, and
you even got some movie cars there. They got cars from Days of Thunder in there.
Yeah, which, you know, Days of Thunder is loosely wrapped around Rick Hendrick's. I mean, City Chevrolet, he did own that, so.
Yeah, well, it's based around several different characters. They took mainline stories and put it into the movie, but
right.
But the thing that was cool is they used City Chevrolet, which is a legit dealership in Charlotte, which is Rick Hendrick's City Chevrolet.
Yep.
You know, Cole Trickle's number 46 City Chevrolet car.
Which is cool because you can actually see that car in the museum.
Yeah, and that's really neat. I mean, that was a real stock car, you know?
Yeah, because as many of you probably know, that movie was actually filmed right here in Charlotte. So
The majority of it,
yeah. So, I mean,
I think they should come out with a Days of Thunder, too. I think that movie would do good. It would help NASCAR.
I think it would do good as a reboot of it. I really do. And I'm not big on reboot movies, but I think that one would actually be a worthy cause.
I think it would be a good one. Keep Tom Cruise out of it.
Tom's
just got weird. We don't need him anymore.
Keep TC away from it, but recast that.
But you
got to
bring back Harry Hyde.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And he could still do it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Robert Duvall?
Robert Duvall could kill it.
Yeah, he could absolutely.
Robert Duvall, that was the best acting, I think. Between that and what's that movie, Colors, he did with the Forest Whitaker and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That movie and that are my two favorite Robert Duvall movies, hands down.
Absolutely. We need to have a Days of Thunder conversation on here one day.
We do. There's a lot of neat things about Days of Thunder.
There's a lot of very interesting things.
There's a lot of people right here in Greenville that actually helped in Days of Thunder.
Yeah. Oddly enough, this was years back, but I met the guy who done all the embroidery work for the Mellow Yellow jumpsuits and all that.
That's so neat. I mean, what's cool about it is you know, you think about that kind of stuff. You know, we got a lot of that came from right here in Greenville, or in the upstate area.
In the upstate area, yeah, for sure in the Carolinas.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, all the race shops up there and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that movie was wrapped around our area.
A lot of interesting things, you know. That movie's got so many interesting points, and I'm just going to touch on one. You know, a lot of the driving scenes, you know, Tom Cruise was in. That car was actually being pulled on a trailer with a pickup truck.
Yeah.
Going around the track.
Yeah, he
reacted. On an open car trailer.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious.
It's crazy what they've done with that.
And a lot of old NASCAR footage.
Yes. Which that happens a lot with NASCAR movies. There's some NASCAR footage in Talladega Nights.
Oh, yeah. The only thing that's really funny about it is, if you ever notice, like, the colors of the cars they use, there was a reason why they used those certain colors, because it matched footage they had.
Right.
From a distance, it looked like them.
Right. It's pretty smart thinking.
Yeah, it's very smart thinking. Well, old Jerry Bruckheimer, he's a smart cat. But back to the Hendrick Show, guys. This is that one show, it's that staple show that you go to every year. If you ever go once, you'll go back again. It's a great event.
And let me add to, you know, how thankful, Rob, I think I speak for you as well, that we were to be able to do what we done and be able to come in and, you know, announce the award show and all that, you know, up on Hendrick stage. That was a cool honor.
It was an honor to be a part of that.
Yeah. So, guys, thank you for that. That was awesome. And we have some cool, thankful things to talk about when we come back.
That's right, guys. Stay tuned. There's a lot of Hot Rods and Happy Hour coming up.
Right here on 106.3. All right, guys. Welcome to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Odd Rod. And to my left, the magnificent, the wonderful, the one and only, Mr. Rob Pitts.
I feel like I need intro music.
Well, I think we got it. I'm pretty sure it's playing right
somewhere.
Now.
Somewhere. But you know what I'm saying. Like, I come in, I'm like, I feel like Ric Flair. Like, I need a feather boa in the robe.
Well, I do give a good intro. What can
you
I
do?
Say?
I mean, I'll be honest with you.
Thank you.
Put them together. Thank you. That's magical. But anyway, we're talking about cars we're thankful for.
Yes, on this Halloween.
Wrong holiday.
On this Thanksgiving, this belated Thanksgiving show.
Turn the page on the calendar, buddy.
Yeah, I missed the month.
We're done with jack-o'-lanterns. Now we're eating pumpkin pie.
Exactly. Now, you want to know what to do with the old jack-o'-lantern? Pumpkin pie.
Jack-o'-lantern.
Might be a little old and a little ranky.
That could be a little gamey. Probably don't do that.
Okay, but you can make moonshine with it. So you can make something with it. Pumpkin spice moonshine for the win.
They make pumpkin spice everything
that's like
now.
That's like a basic drunk.
Oh, Lord. But anyway, guys, we're talking about cars you're thankful for. And everybody's got that car they had that, you know, is special to them.
It could be several cars.
I mean, and it could be just, you know, those cars that you're thankful that you owned or still own that, you know, that are special. You know, whether it was time building it with a relative or a friend or you know, it saved your life, you know, or something like that.
I got one of them.
Yeah, I mean, lots of crazy stories with them. And me and Odd Rod were talking about this the other day. And, you know, believe it or not, we actually take notes on this stuff. I mean, this is just not off the cuff. And, you know, we're sitting there discussing at the house. And we were talking about cars we're thankful for. And, you know, and it gets you thinking back.
Right.
And, you know, I got, you know, like I said, you know, I'm a third generation hot rod guy. My grandpa was a hot rodder. My dad was a hot rodder. I mean, I had no choice. I mean, it was just inevitable. Mm. I was going to be a hot rod guy. And I love it. But, I mean, if it wasn't for them, I'd probably be driving a Honda right now.
I could see you in a Honda, actually.
A nice Accord.
Right.
Something with a sunroof.
Right. See, man, I would be a little rebellious. So I'd probably end up with a Civic, but...
Just saying. Because, you know, you're young and youthful. Yeah,
exactly. You see where I was going with that.
I got you.
Absolutely.
I got you. But fuel mileage is still a concern.
Right. Fuel mileage is a concern. So, yeah.
And the economy.
And Stan's life. I'm young. Can't help it.
Killing me. Millennials. But anyway.
Easy.
All right, this is where we're at. We're talking about cars we're thankful for. And I started thinking about it. And I mean, there's several over the, you know, I could talk about it for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about it. But one that I'm extremely thankful for was my very first collector car.
Ooh, what was that?
You know, Rob, the GM guy.
Right.
Mr. Chevrolet.
Right.
My very first collector car. And I had Mustangs and stuff, but late model Mustangs. So I'm talking about my first old car. It was a 1963 Good Ford year. Falcon.
Ooh, Ford.
Sprint.
Ooh, okay. I can live with that.
Let me pull out my brushes and my pastels and paint you a picture.
All right, do it.
Just like Bob Ross.
Bob Ross.
I'm going to paint you some happy trees. All right, guys.
Or some happy this tires.
Was a 63 Falcon is a cute little car. They are. They're just cute. And that's the best word.
Well, it's basically the equivalent to the Nova, right?
It is. It's Ford's version to the Nova. But this is the thing you got to think about with the Falcon was, this is before the Mustang, which the Mustang platform was a Falcon.
It was a Falcon.
Actually, a lot of things on a Falcon were a Mustang, like door handles and interior parts was mainly Falcon. But the thing that's crazy about this little car was, I'll never forget, you know, I mean, I was 19, you know, I had a little money put up, and my dad was on the hunt for me a collector car. He said, I'll find you something. And I'm thinking a little Chevelle, you know, something cool, Camaro.
Right.
My dad said, well, I found a cute little Falcon. And I'm like, I don't know. I said, what color is it? And I'm thinking red or black. He said, it's baby blue. And I'm like, you're not hitting on much with me right now. He said, won't you come look at it? So he drugged me on, I'll never forget, he drugged me down there on a Saturday. Bright and early, we went and looked at this car. And the guy that had it before me was a diehard Ford man. Like, I'm not talking about Ford like, you know, he was big into Fords. This guy was like a Ford connoisseur. So he took this basic 63 Falcon Sprint. I mean, it was cool. It was a Sprint. It was originally a 260, you know, three-speed car probably.
Right.
And he put a 289 A-code Mustang motor in it with a solid lift cam, three deuces. But this is the thing that was cool about it was you open the hood on this little Falcon. I mean, and keep in mind, the engine compartment's small.
Very.
You open it, all you see is carburetors. This thing's got three deuces and a four speed. But the thing that was cool about it was it had a Ford aluminum intake and Ford carburetors on it.
That's awesome.
This was all Ford Fomaco stuff. And it had the fin, you know, the long fin oval air cleaner and the fin Le Mans valve covers on it.
Right.
Long tube headers. I mean, this thing cranked it up. I mean, it rattles. This little innocent looking baby blue Falcon is rattling the ground. I'm like, no, Falcon, it ain't too bad. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I had more fun. Top loader, four speed. I had the wheel spinningest car I've ever seen in my life. Rolling on 195, 65, 14s on all four corners.
That's dangerous.
On American torque thrust, charcoal, old school torque thrust. Not even torque thrust twos. We're talking about the old school, but 14 by sixes.
That's dangerous.
This thing was so fun, though.
There's no wonder it'd spin the tire. There wasn't no tire to spin.
It would. I mean, there were glorified dinks. I mean, you know, and this car, and I mean, it was baby blue with blue vinyl. Had bucket seats and a console. At Hurst four speed. I think that's my love for four speed cars come in.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, the times I dropped the clutch on it. And the thing, my dad told me one thing about that car that hooked me on it so hard, and I tested his theory numerous times. And I'm not the biggest Ford fan in the world. I'm not. But I'm gonna tell you something about that little 289. I don't know how far is too far to turn it, but I put it like this. It'll turn $8,000.
And still stay together.
This is the thing. My dad said, solid lift cam, son. He said, you know, you really ain't got to worry about overturning it. Oh, really?
Fair enough.
So, and it had the little sprint tack on the dash. You know, a little, and it was so funny. I think it stopped at like $8,000. I'd bury that thing and drop the clutch on it. I mean, it would spin for like 6 months. I mean, you'd put it in high gear on the way home, it's still spinning.
You'll have that.
This thing is hilarious. But it was so much fun. But the thing was, I drove this car for 2 years. You know, I did a little work to it, you know. And the things, you know, we had some problems with the, you know, the thing about two-barrel carburetors and multiple carburation. Carburetor is a headache.
Right.
Multiple carburetors are numerous headaches. And, I mean, this is like, I mean, it's impressive to look at, but it's such a pain to get them running right.
Wasn't functioning.
And if you ever get them running right, you're great. But getting them there is a small feat in itself.
Yeah.
And, you know, my dad.
You see a lot of the old street ride guys will actually kick the front and back barrels off and just
exactly.
Run
on one. Well, I didn't want that. I wanted, you know, and this thing had progressive linkage on it. So when you're going down the road, you're just running off two barrel, just cruising. And the harder you get an accelerator pedal, it kicks in another two barrel. And then when you floor it, it just opens them all.
Yeah, really watch the gas.
Yeah, it'll smack. And I mean, you feel like it'll roll out of the seat. You know, it had them like short back bucket seats in anyway that stopped in the middle of your back.
Yeah.
But no seat belts. You know, and I loved it.
It's probably like one of the most dangerous cars you could ever own, but like totally in love.
I mean, literally, it was a sheet metal coffin. But I love that baby blue Bullet. And I tortured that thing. I drove it everywhere, cruising up down Main Street, driving Spartanburg, dragging, you know, WOZL and all that stuff, dragging Black Stuff. But the thing that was fun about that car, though, is, you know, me and my dad had a little heating problem. You get in traffic, started running a little warm.
Oh, yeah.
Had the original Falcon radiator in it. And we put us a Griffin aluminum radiator. We put it in my driveway. And, I mean, like, I remember that. And, I mean, like, that was the first radiator I ever changed, you know, and with my dad, you know. And you know, and doing this in the driveway. You know, we got a shop with every tool known to man. And all we got at the house is a Polly Pocket toolkit. And we decided we're going to put a radiator in right there. And
what better way to do it, though?
Exactly, because anybody can do it with a toolbox full of tools.
And
you know,
lift and all kinds of neat things.
So we get this car, and I drove it, and you know, like I said, I drove this car for like 2 years, cruise-ins and car shows, and I loved it. You know, and it was such a fun car. But the thing was cool was, you know, decided Rob wanted to move out of the house, wanted to grow up, wanted to be a man, 20 years old. I said, I'm gonna buy me a house. I sold that car, made money off of it. Sold it, made good money off of it. That was a down payment on my first house. That car did nothing but did me right.
You can't be that. I mean, that's a hot rodding win.
It is all the way around. It taught me so many things. One, the profitability in old cars.
Oh, yeah.
And two, I've probably been better off GM man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you learn quick.
Well, you know, on the thing, I mean, you can't talk to a man about being drunk if he ain't never drank.
That's true.
So I can't talk about how bad Fords are unless I had one.
Exactly, and I've had one too, and we'll actually talk about that coming up next right here in Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
On 106.3 W.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.